When this talk concludes at about 3:30, we will have a 5-minute break, and then we will have the renewal of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And if there's anyone that has just completed the 33-day preparation for taking it for the first time, I would ask you to come to the front here. Hopefully you've written out your copy of the total consecration in longhand, and you'll be kneeling here in the front with me as you take it for the first time and as the rest of us renew it who are doing so. Before I begin my talk, I would like to make special mention of a couple of longtime Fatima Conference attendees who are no longer with us in this life. Mr. Thomas Draiman, who was part of our community and parish here since the early 70s, and it was in March that he was called to the next life, and very beautifully his funeral took place. We had the most extreme lockdown circumstances because of COVID at the time, but we were able to arrange at least a simple burial ceremony here at Holy Rosary Cemetery. And, you know, by governor's mandate, people could not gather in a big group, but many, many people lined the cars, lined up staying inside their cars, praying for him as his remains were borne to the cemetery. And he was laid to rest on March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation, and that was his favorite decade of the 15 decades of the Holy Rosary. So I would like to make special mention of him because, again, he was such a huge part of our parish, made it such an impression on so many who came to our parish over the years, and I'm sure you remember him very well. Also, I was informed that Mrs. Marlene McKinnon passed away, and she was from California and would very faithfully come to the Fatima Conference as well. Not as long as Mr. Tom Draiman, but at least for the good 10, 15 years or so, and was one of our very faithful, as I said, attendees. So may their souls and all of the souls of the faithful departed rest in peace. Amen. In this conference, we will reflect on what St. Louis Marie de Montfort calls knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we want to know the real Christ. Why is it necessary to say that, to know the real Christ? Because the false Christ is being preached today. How can that happen? Well, if one deliberately ignores the sum total of all of our Lord's teachings, one will form an idea of a false Christ. And that is very much in keeping with our Lord's own prophecy. We hear every year on the last Sunday after Pentecost the gospel regarding the end of the world, when our Lord talks about the abomination of desolation. And he talks about the great tribulation that will happen. And unless those days had been shortened, no living creature would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone say to you, "Behold, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. So our Lord said it would happen, and it is happening now. The false Christ that is being preached, and we'll find this is absolutely true of the imposter pope, Bergoglio, he most certainly preaches this false Christ. The false Christ never says anything negative. The true Christ warns of sin, judgment, and hell. When was the last time you ever heard Bergoglio talk about the reality of hell? He preaches a false Christ, so he doesn't talk about it. The false Christ disregards repentance of sins. The true Christ commands repentance of sins. Remember when our Lord mercifully and tenderly addressed the woman caught in adultery, what did he say to her? Go and sin no more. What is being preached today is go and sin some more. The false Christ gives you health, wealth, and happy feelings. The true Christ gives you salvation, hope, true peace, and true joy. The false Christ is loved and accepted by the world. The true Christ, and we read this from Holy Scripture, was hated and despised by the world, loved by the people of goodwill, adored and followed by them. But by those that were not of goodwill, he was hated and despised by them. The false Christ confounds sin and does not correct it. The true Christ hates sin and exposes the truth about sin. The false Christ gives suggestions. The true Christ commands with divine authority. The false Christ hates to offend and loves political correctness. The true Christ offends the world with the truth. Remember, it was our Lord that said, the truth shall set you free. We don't always like the truth. It's uncomfortable, but it's what saves us. We need the truth desperately. The false Christ promotes unity and tolerance at all costs. The true Christ brings division when necessary. Yes, he was called the Prince of Peace, but did he not say, I have come not to bring peace, but the sword? The necessary division that will be there between good and evil, between those of good will and those of bad will. The false Christ preaches only on love. The true Christ preaches about love and righteousness. The false Christ serves your will, not God's will. The true Christ exalts God the Father's will. Remember what our Lord said in the Garden of Olives, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Complete submission to the will of God. The false Christ exalts emotion, experience, and opinion above sound doctrine. The true Christ, the biblical Christ, demands that emotion, experience, and opinion conform to sound doctrine. Yes, this can even affect Catholics, and I believe this has affected people for a long time. I remember when I was a boy, and I forget which apparition it was, and I truly believe it was a false one, Garabandal or Bayside. But I remember hearing about, if you went to this rosary that was prayed in a group, they were going to bring a rosary from one of these places of apparition, and it was going to change colors before your eyes. That was in the late 60s. Isn't that something that would come from a false Christ, that you would determine doctrine by a rosary that changes colors? Now, I'm in no way discounting miracles. Our Lord himself worked many a miracle to uphold his true doctrine. But these false apparitions kept preaching loyalty and obedience to the modernist heretical so-called popes of Vatican II. And was going to, and the devil can make something like that happen using his own power. It's not a true miracle by any means. It's just simply a diabolical manifestation to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Did we hear those words from our Lord? Yes. There are, unfortunately, false Christs. One more contrast. The false Christ encourages you to love yourself and gratify your fleshly desires. The true Christ commands you to deny yourself and allow Christ to work in you. That is following the true Christ, when we deny ourselves. As St. Paul said, I live now, not I, but Christ liveth in me. St. Paul was such a tremendous expression of that truth. For Christ to live in us, we have to make way for him. And the self, the Adam self, has to die, has to be denied. Otherwise, where is there room for Christ? Those who preach the false Christ say that self can coexist with Christ, but it's impossible. With Christ, I am crucified to the world. The words of Scripture. So how does it happen that there is a false Christ? Well, it's deliberate. Only certain things about Christ are preached, and the others are denied, ignored, and covered over. God rest his soul, Father Anthony Cicada, the great writer and apologist and theologian who explained so well the traditional Catholic position. In his writings about the new liturgy, he pointed out this was deliberate, and he points out hundreds, if not thousands, of examples of where the idea of the complete Christ was removed from the orations, from the Mass, giving us this new concoction of the new Mass, the false Mass, the invalid Mass. It was deliberate. And the excuse given, it's not something modern man needs to hear. No wonder modern man is in such a mess. Because he's having the false Christ preached to him. The true Christ is perfect, infinitely so, and all of his teachings are what we need to hear. Yes, Jesus is full of infinite love, but let's not forget that he's also infinitely just. And he preached both aspects, not just one of them. What is ironic is that those who follow the false Christ, the false ideas about Christ, they will fall into real slavery. The slavery to sin. Jesus came to free us from the slavery to sin. And these people will also fall prey to other forms of slavery because they don't understand the true Christ. They only look at a sliver of his teachings, you might say. And that's not the true picture. It would be as though you had a photo of somebody, but you only had a sliver of that photo. And you say, here's the person. And you see part of a face, part of their neck, maybe part of a shoulder. How does that convey the true image? It can't. It doesn't. So in the traditional Catholic Church, we have the true Christ preached to us, the true Christ who saves us, the true Christ who redeemed us, the true Christ that gave us the perfect example of virtue, the true Christ that we want to know. And this is St. Louis's fourth step, knowledge of Jesus Christ. We also need to kneel at his feet in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. This is what is so valuable about the time you had in adoration last night. Being at the feet of our Lord, drinking in his grace, his presence, his teachings. This is where we learn of him, where his true teachings immerse themselves into us, you might say. It's what the apostles did. Of course, they had their failures. After being with our Lord for 3 years, they still failed, as we know, in the passion of our Lord. But Jesus did not give up on them. But they were learning. And during the last 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension, they finished drinking in, you might say, absorbing the lessons that he wanted them to know. And then they went and preached Christ to the world. And it is Christ alone who saves us. Can you imagine how terrible this world would be? I mean, as terrible as it is now, imagine if our Lord had never come to give us his redeeming, sanctifying, uplifting message. Just try to imagine. Just take the evil of the world today and multiply it many times over. That's the human race without our blessed Lord and what he has done for us. A little bit more of a contrast, and I will take this from some of these thoughts from a sermon of Bishop Sheen that was very good. And if I like to qualify this when I quote Bishop Sheen, that it's one of the heartrending things that even he fell prey to Vatican II. With all of his erudition and learning and fantastic talks that he gave before Vatican II, unfortunately, well, even as our Lord said, even the elect can be led astray. But I'm quite certain this was from one of his talks from well before Vatican II. And he contrasts following Christ with communism. And communism is just as much of a threat today as it was during the Cold War, except that I see the communists a lot closer than they were. In the 50s and 60s, they were over in Russia and China. We have the communists right now in our own country, the liberal version of the Democrat Party. The looters, the rioters, the ones who want to cause grave harm to the entire fabric of our society. They've gotten closer. And I think he makes some very good points here, and I would like to just share them with you, at least briefly. In communism, there's a subjection to a system. Number two, it is based on fear. And number three, it destroys freedom of thought. It's kind of ironic, isn't it, that preaching the false kind of love, which is really about gratifying oneself, will end up subjecting people to a totalitarian system. So that's when they are going to really experience that sense of fear. But contrast this with the Catholic Church and with our Lord, with the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we find that as Catholics, we are not subject so much to a system as we are to a person. There's the huge, tremendous difference. You see, when we subject ourselves to the true Christ, we know whom we are obeying in a very personal way. In the false systems, it's the they. What does they say? What do they decree? What do they insist on? In the Catholic Church, it will always be about the He, the true Christ, subjecting ourselves to Him. It is based on true love. The love that has a healthy ingredient of fear. As we read in Scripture, fear is the beginning of wisdom. When a child loves a parent, would never say that love is absent any kind of fear. There's a healthy kind of fear, but it has that strong sense of love for my father, for my mother. Our Lord would not give St. Peter the primacy until he had three times told him, "Lord, I love thee." You see, that's what makes the exercise of authority safe. When a person is doing it out of true love, not out of any other motive. Love of God and love of neighbor. And St. Peter, he knew how terribly he had fallen during the Passion of our Lord. He had denied our Lord three times, out of fear of the consequences. So even though our Lord had told him many months before, probably a year before, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Remember, he did not become pope at that time. He was designated as pope. Kind of like when we elect a president. He's designated, but he doesn't actually start being the president until he's sworn in when he's inaugurated. It's the same thing, same principle there. So it was after the resurrection on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee where they had been fishing. This was the second time our Lord worked the miracle of the so many fish that they nearly, you know, sank the boats. Except, by the way, this is just wonderful biblical Catholic trivia to know that the second time the exact number of fish was indicated, and it was 153. Now, where in our Catholic practice and devotion do we find the number 153? The Holy Rosary, the 15 decades with the three Hail Marys at the beginning. I can't help but see that. I think you would agree with me. That's a harbinger, a something to presage the Holy Rosary, that number 153 would show up. But it was then, after our Lord cooked breakfast for his apostles that were fishing, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? And again, three times, Lord, I love thee, feed my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So if anybody ever falls away from being a Catholic, it's not because they lost sense of the system. They lost their love for Jesus. The love of self began to take over too much, and the love of Jesus faded. They may think they left an organization, they left a system. No, ultimately, they left the person of Jesus by failing to love him. You know, as Bishop Sheen pointed out, he said there are sometimes people say, I would never want to have the church get in my way of Christ. He denounced the insanity of that expression. He says, the church is Christ. The church is the mystical body of Christ. How can my mind and my get between me and my body? My mind and my body are united. Most sadly, they have left the love of our Lord. They put something else ahead of him. May that never happen to us. That would be the worst thing of all, to lose the love of Christ. And we must love him in the first place with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. All other loves must take their meaning from this love of Christ. We know what the two great commandments are. And it takes a lifetime of learning how to love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, our whole strength. The third contrast, and again, false systems destroy freedom of thought. By the way, we're accused of that as Catholics, aren't we? Oh, you have to believe certain things to be a Catholic. Yes, but knowing the correct answer to, for example, 2 + 2 = 4 liberates me from the error of saying it's equals 7 or 11 or 19. That's a good freedom to have, freedom from error. We cannot go wrong believing the teachings of our Lord. They are most certainly infallible. We have more assurance in believing what our Lord teaches us than believing what anybody else would ever say to us, because he's speaking with the authority of God, whereas anybody else can only speak with the authority of man, and God is infinitely higher than man. So remember this: by being Catholics, by being members of the mystical body of Christ, we want to know the real Christ. And we will know that by listening to all of his teachings, to being faithful to the traditional teachings of the Catholic Church before Vatican II. Those always taught us the true idea of Christ. Remember that we are subject to a person, not a system, not a they, not a set of, not a structure. ultimately and always, it is about the person. Our divine Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we get to know him better and better. But we need Mary, not for any lack of what Jesus does for us. He's God. He can do anything and everything. But as St. Louis Marie de Montfort points out, our Lord was entirely dependent upon her. I mean, can there be any greater dependence than the infant in the womb on the mother? Or the infant after birth being taken care of by the mother? Can there be any greater dependence? The child needs the mother for everything. And this is the way that God chose to come to us, in a state of complete and total dependence in the natural order upon his mother. He could have no human father. St. Joseph was his foster father. But he most certainly had truly a mother. Tomorrow is the feast of the divine maternity. Mary as mother of God. She didn't give him his divinity. She didn't even give him his human soul. No more than our mother gives us our human soul. She only contributes her DNA as a mother does. But we still call her our mother. And Mary is truly Mother of God. What a feast to celebrate. What, it's the last day of this year's conference. We meditate on the dependence that God had on Mary. So Jesus is teaching us, and St. Louis says there's every reason to believe that he lived with her for 30 years. Think about that. Out of 33 years on earth, what is that? You know, to divide 3 by 33, 1/11th. You get to, 9% of his time was spent in his public ministry, or if you want to round it off to 10%. 10% of his life is spent in public ministry. The other 89, 90% is spent with his mother. Isn't that amazing? He was more than capable of starting his public ministry early on. At 12 years old, Mary and St. Joseph found him in the temple, and he was befuddling the doctors, the scribes, the lawyers, the brightest minds among the Jewish intelligentsia. How does this 12-year-old know all this? Well, he just happens to be God. God made man. But the scripture tells us he went down to Nazareth and was subject to them. Do you see why we need Our Lady? You can even make an argument for devotion to St. Joseph, because Jesus called him Father. Even though he wasn't his father in the natural order, he was by adoption his father. He was subject to them. Do you see why you need to learn from Mary? She knows Jesus far better than anyone else. St. Joseph obviously would come after her. She's no threat. She is the greatest help and asset. We most certainly in the Catholic religion have the feminine aspect. The true femininity is extolled in the highest degree when we see that God made this woman his mother And he allowed himself to be taught by her. The true Christ allowed himself to be taught. Even though he needed no teaching, he allowed himself to be instructed, to be taught. He was obedient to her. Everything Christ did was an example to us. So to learn more and more the true Christ, go to his mother. You can't possibly go wrong. As St. Louis says, when we say Mary, she says Jesus, and she wants nothing more than to bring us to her son, to make us more like him. That is the beauty and the glory of holy slavery or total consecration, as St. Louis Marie de Montfort has taught, to Jesus through Mary. Just as Christ came to us through Mary, we are entirely correct, and we do so well when we go through Mary to the true Christ. I'd like to end the talk at this time. We're going to have a 5-minute break if you need to step out to take care of anything. Otherwise, just invite you to just stay here in prayer and reflection, and then we will have the total consecration to Jesus through Mary. You'll find it on page 14 and 15. And as I said earlier, if any of you have are taking it today for the first time, having completed the 33-day preparation as outlined by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, I would ask you to come up here in front of Our Lady of Fatima statue.